Good morning. So from today, for next 6 weeks, we are starting a sermon series under the title, How to Gain Control of Your Finances. How to Gain Control of Your Finances. Now, you know that every time when somebody starts preaching or sharing something from the pulpit, you think that person has gained control over his finance and now he is sharing his wisdom with us. Now let me tell you that I have absolutely no control over my finance. The only control I have, maybe in a month I might get $100, and that is what I can control. So please don't misunderstand that I gain all this wisdom and I'm sharing with you. Please, that is not the fact. That is not the truth. However, as a church, we are going through the stewardship season. And so I wanted to share some of the things we will learn from this book. And so for this sermon series, I am going to use three resources. Number one, this book. This book has scriptures, this book has many devotions, and when we come for the Bible study, book study, we will study from each, on each Tuesday we will study one chapter. And so for an example, the first chapter is trust God for your finance. The second resource I'm going to use it is the scripture itself, because when we read the Bible, especially Gospels, we realize that Jesus has spoken so much about money. In fact, that is one of the top topics Jesus has talked about. But often from the church, we don't hear much about it, because often as a church, we shy away to talk about money, because people misunderstand that every time when church talks about money, usually church asks people to give more money to the church. For an example, I hear this, or I want to share this joke with you. Now, when I'm telling you it's a joke, there's a two reason that at the end of the joke, you should laugh, right? If you don't laugh, that means either I was not a good teller and you were not a good listener. So anyway, so this, so, all right, yes, thank you. So there was this, people were flying in the plane. And in the plane, as they were flying, they were experiencing very difficult time in terms of natural calamity. The flight was going up and down, and people were really worried what could happen. And they were like thinking, what can I do? This seems to be my last time here on the earth. What's supposed to I do? And somebody's like, hey, you know what? We can actually pray and we can ask God's help. But then nobody knew how to pray in that particular plane. And so they asked, hey, is there any pastor in this plane? And one guy's like, yeah, I'm the pastor. So it's like, pastor, can you do something religious? Pastor says, sure, let's collect the offering. I'm glad most of you laughed. Thank you. That is such encouraging this morning for me. So, and the third source I'm going to use is people, because we have collective experience. Some of us, our experiences are positive. Some of us, our experiences are negative. Some of us have learned from it. Some of us are still learning. When we come together for our book study, we will set our experience and kind of tell our stories that how God has helped us in terms of to gain control over our finance. So today is the first sermon, and the first sermon is Trust God for Your Finance. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, trust God. In the month of May, they did survey about the finance in America. And it says nearly 30% of respondents rate their financial situation as only fair. And 15% say is poor. Meanwhile, 25% says they worry all or most of the time about their household income, and they are worried that it is not enough for their expenses. Their biggest concern was saving enough for retirement and unplanned medical costs. with 54% and 51% respectively saying they are very or moderately worried about each of the prospects. In other words, there is a lot of worrying going on about finance. And we wonder, like, okay, are people only worrying now? How about in the past? Like during Jesus' time, did people worry? And answer is yes. People were worried about their tomorrow. People were worried about their food. People were worried about their clothing. And what was Jesus' answer? And I think Carolyn is going to come and read scripture for us, and it's going to address that question.
Reading from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the fire, tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The word of God for the people of God.
So instead of worrying, what can we do? Today's sermon title says that trust God for your finances. Amen? Because God is faithful. How many of you can boldly say for your own personal life that God has been faithful to you in your finances? I think most of us can say very boldly that God has been faithful to us in the past in our finances. And therefore, we can depend upon God for our future. See, in my cell phone, I have two different GPSs. One is Apple's own generic GPS, which I find it very difficult to use, since I don't know if you work at Apple or not, but I think I don't like Apple's GPS because the design is not good. It doesn't give me accurate time. And often while I'm driving, it changes design. And so I'm on the road and then it changes the way it shows me the direction. And then I get very confused. And so in my experience, Apple GPS isn't the best. But when it comes to Google, amen. What a wonderful GPS Google has created. And so Google GPS is so good. It tells me exactly, like if I'm driving from San Francisco to Sunnyvale, it tells me that you will reach in 45 minutes. And I usually come in 45 minutes. Once in a while, it could be like 46 or sometimes a little bit. But it is so accurate. It looks everything and tells me exactly the direction I need to go. And if I follow the direction, it takes me to my destination on time. And so that has been my experience here in the city. And so a few months ago, we planned as a family to go to Yosemite. Now, if you went there, you realized that is not a simple drive. You know, there are a lot of hills and valleys, and there are places where actually you lose internet connection. But then I put Google GPS, and eventually it was as faithful to me as it was faithful in the small places or in the small driving direction. In other words, it gave me perfect timing. It told me exactly where to go. And, you know, I could depend upon Google GPS because I have such a wonderful experience prior to taking such a long trip. And so, dear people of God, when we think about our future, when we think about our tomorrow, may I suggest, may I encourage us as a church, as a family, as individuals, to trust God for your finances, because the same God who has been faithful to you in the past, same God is going to be with you in the future. So many times in the past, you realize that, you know, there were situations where you had no idea where the money is going to come from. You had no idea that what kind of job you're going to get. You had no idea that what are the sales are going to be during Thanksgiving week. But God provided our needs collectively in a miraculous way. And same way, dear people of God, I promise you that God will be faithful to you in days and years to come. And so when it comes to your finances, trust God. It will not make sense to you once in a while. And that is why we're trusting God. And if you have experienced this amazing faithfulness of God, what should be our response? I want to give you two or three responses. Number one, proclaim God's faithfulness. Proclaim God's faithfulness. When we look at the songs of David, he constantly talks about God's faithfulness. He constantly tells people that God has been faithful. Once upon a time, I was in a miserable place, but God has placed me in a beautiful place. Once upon a time, I was surrounded by many enemies, but now God has put me in a secure place. Once upon a time, I had nothing, but now God has blessed me with so many things. In other words, dear people of God, he wrote songs almost 4,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, that we are reading those songs and we are being encouraged. Proclaim God's faithfulness to people for two reasons. Reason number one, because you yourself will be reminded once upon a time when you will go through your own insecurity, when you will go through your own challenges, and you will read your own songs and you will realize that 20 years ago it was worse than this, but God was faithful and I can depend upon that God. And the second reason you want to proclaim God's faithfulness is that other people will be encouraged through your stories. Other people will be encouraged through your songs. Other people will be encouraged through the learning you've done through this difficult time. It is a good reminder for you, and it is a good reminder for other people. The second one is build altars. What does it mean? It means create monuments within your small house, within your surrounding, which constantly reminds you of God's faithfulness. You know, when people of Israel, when they were freed from Egypt as a slaves for 400 years, and now God is leading them to Promised Land. And from Egypt to Promised Land, the scripture says it took them 40 years. And in those 40 years, they came across so many trials and temptations and struggles. In fact, as they were just leaving Egypt, there was a big Red Sea on the way, and there was no way humanly possible that they could ever cross that sea. And scripture tells us that how God, in a miraculous way, parted that Red Sea and they walked across. And the first thing Moses tells to the people of Israel that build an altar of God here. Bring 12 big stones and build an altar. Let us sacrifice here so that when in future, maybe after 500, 600,000 years, when you might come back this area and when your children ask that, Dad, tell what is this? Then you can tell the story of God's faithfulness almost 400, 500, 6,000 years ago. Built monument, dear people, in your family, in your surrounding. Like often when we grow up, we take our children back to our hometown, right? And when we take them to our hometown, we take them around and we show them different places. Oh, this is the place I used to go to school. This is the place I used to go to church. This is the place where this happened or that happened. I remember other day when I was sitting in my car and praying before I went to the office. Sometimes we need to pray before we go to office. Amen. And as I was there in my car, I saw there was this a gentleman, and he brought his grandson. And, you know, this gentleman was showing around to him these different places. And so Eva and Sonia, they were with me. And so I asked Eva, I said, Eva, can you go and talk to this gentleman? Seems like they're trying to find out a little bit more about the church, and they are just figuring out. So Eva went and talked a little bit. And then they actually started to really get into deep conversation. So I had to go out and talk more. And it happened to be that his name is John Christie. And he used to go to this church almost like, I think, 40, 50 years ago. And he was telling his grandson that how this church has changed his life. He was telling the places that, you remember, this is the place where I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. This is the place we used to come for the youth group. This is the place me and my friend used to play. And now John Christie is a pastor at other church in our area. But that's a monument, dear people of God, that he brought his grandson to show him God's faithfulness in his life. Let us build monument. Amen. So that it constantly reminds us how God has been faithful to us, how God has brought us to this wonderful place, even through difficult journey. The second reason why we need to trust God. This might sound a little bit, I'm going to say it. It says, that's the best option we have. Amen. We have only two options. Number one, ourselves and God for our finances, right? And I'm sure you have lived with yourself your whole life. And you know that how sometimes you cannot trust yourself. How many of you know that? Collectively, sometimes we build government. And again, sometimes we cannot trust our government. Again, how many of you know that? Collectively, we build cities. And we build city governments. And again, how many of you know that you cannot trust that? We go to work. And you and I have experiences that you cannot depend upon your work. The place of employment, yes, they are nice and good people, but sometimes they are not nice and good. We cannot trust our health. Sometimes we're healthy, and sometimes we find out that we're not healthy. So, dear people of God, we have only two options. One option is we can trust ourselves for our future and our finances. And other option is that we can trust God for our future and for our finances. And if you know third options, please come and tell me that, Rajiv, I have to tell you this secret. You don't know, but again, there's this third option. I'm going to share with you. If you know third options, please tell me. But again, we have only two options, dear people of God. One is to trust in us as a human beings. And yes, I think we're pretty good people, but not all the time. Not constantly, not continually. Because we have all trusted some other human being, and we realize that how that particular system, that particular nation, that particular political system has failed us. And so the second reason why we need to trust God for our future and our finances, because God is the best option we have. God has been faithful to us. God has been loving and kind and caring to us. And yes, sometimes we have gone through a difficult journey. Yes, sometimes we have gone through a place where we don't want to be financially and otherwise. But like if you would still look back and you will realize that God has been faithful to you. And so, dear people of God, the reason, two simple reasons I want you to trust God for your future and for your finances. Number one, that God has proved himself to be faithful And second thing, that's the best options we have right now. Other options seems to be a little bit reliable, but not really. And when I think about my own life, I can definitely say that God has been faithful to me in terms of my finances. I often told you about my story that I was a very bad student. I have absolutely no future. But here, God has brought me to one of the most prosperous and one of the most wonderful places in the planet. And I'm standing here in front of you, sharing God's love with people around me. And, you know, as a church, we're growing in God's love and care. It is only because of God's faithfulness. I remember a story of my friend. His name is James Matthew. He just came from Texas to visit me, I think, 2 weeks ago. And he often tells his story that he was born in a pastor's family in India, not the most financially powerful place to be. And he married to his wife, and his wife came from other pastor's family. And his wife often tells the story about that, that often they struggle even for milk in their house. But then how miraculously God provided even the milk, even the simplest thing for survival. When he came to America, he was telling me at Fuller, he came with $320. That's all money he had. Eventually, he did his PhD in Christian counseling. His wife did a PhD in psychology, and she's a counselor in Texas somewhere, and he goes around and raise fund for, you know, for the ministries in India. And God has blessed them tremendously, financially and otherwise. And with $320, you and I know, dear people of God, you cannot even live for a week in California. But he can boldly say that God has been faithful to me. For me and my family, I could say that God has been faithful to us. And God will be faithful to you. I don't know what are your struggles. I don't know what are your worries these days. But as your pastor, I want to encourage you and I want to let you know that if you trust in God, if you trust God for your finances, God will be faithful to you. And one of the things we do as a church, as a collective body, is to be adventurous in our trust. Amen? Like if God been faithful to me for $100, I'm sure God can be faithful to me for $1,000. And if God can be faithful to me for $1,000, God can be faithful to me for $10,000. In other words, that should increase our trust in God. And as a church, we've actually taken that step last year. You know, as a church, we've decided that we will support our Korean church plant here in this place, and we will give them $1,000 every month. So in the past, they used to give us $1,500 as a rent. But as they are going through difficult time, we reduced their rent to only $750. And apart from that, as a church, we've decided to give them $1,000 toward that. In other words, you know, it is a big chunk of our own finances. But we realize, and as a pastor, I realize that there is no way I can trust God for more if I'm not ready to trust Him for less. There is no way that we can depend upon God for more if you're not ready to take this step of faith. And we have taken that step of faith. Amen? And as a church, you have partaken in that step of faith. And end of this year, dear people of God, I want to see and experience God's faithfulness. There is a scripture in the Bible. It says, taste and see that God is good. I want to experience God's faithfulness as individual, as family, and more as a church. That God, we have taken this bold step of faith in helping our sisters and brothers, because in the past, somebody took that bold step, and that's the reason we are here. And God, we want to experience your faithfulness as a church so that next year we can boldly even go a little bit extra mile and become more courageous in trusting you. Amen? And so as you think And as you give to your God, and as you be generous, be adventurous. Go a little bit crazy. And you will experience God's faithfulness in your life, in your family, and as a church. We will experience God's goodness and God's faithfulness. Let us pray. God, you invite us to journey with you. We know the fact that this whole world, everything in the universe belongs to you. In other words, you don't need our support to do your work. However, Lord, you invite us so that, Lord, we can grow in you. We can become more like you. We can trust you for small things so that we can know that God, who has been faithful in the small things, can be faithful in the big things. And Lord, you often invite us to be adventurous in the way we live, in the way we give, in the way we behave with you. And I pray that as we trust in you, help us to be adventurous. Help us to go even a little bit crazy in the way we live, in being generous to you and to the people around us. And Lord, I, as a pastor, as your servant, want to experience your faithfulness so that in next year, in the year after that, Lord, I can tell the story of Good Samaritan Church, that how you have been faithful to us as a church and how we have taken a bold steps for you, and you will remain faithful to us in the days to come. We want to experience you. We just don't want to live this mediocre life. We want to experience your generosity, your goodness. And in the same way, Lord, we want to be generous and good to people around us the way you have been to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.